Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Another three Alaskans have died of COVID-19. The State Department of Health and Social Services reported yesterday that the fatalities were women in their 50s from Anchorage and the Kisilvak and Bethel census areas. The DHSS says the deaths were recent and raised the state's pandemic long death toll to 222. The agency also reported 10 new COVID hospitalizations, with 89 either confirmed or suspected virus patients in Alaska hospitals as of Wednesday night. 8 patients were on ventilators. Meanwhile, the DHSS announced 334 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases. The areas with the most were Anchorage with 142, Wasilla with 36, the Northwest Arctic Borough with 30, and Fairbanks with 29. There were also 11 new cases in North Pole and 1 elsewhere in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, plus 2 in the Yukon-Koyukuk census area. 4 new non-resident cases were identified statewide. 3 small interior school districts plan to bring students back into classrooms this month as long as the number of local COVID-19 cases remains low. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The number of COVID-19 cases reported in communities within school districts based in Delta Junction, Healy, and Tok went down over the holiday break, and that, along with strong support from parents and teachers, have convinced the district's officials that it's time to bring students back into the classroom.
We want to get back in the buildings. The community is definitely ready for that, and the staff as well. They're really, really wanting to see our students back.
Delta Greeley School Superintendent Sean Striley says the district will operate under medium risk precautions that will again strongly encourage students to wear face masks, wash hands frequently, and maintain social distancing. And he says class periods will be lengthened and more overflow rooms like libraries and gymnasiums will be used to avoid packing too many kids into a classroom.
That has served us well in the past, so that's our plan moving forward next week.
Alaska Gateway School Superintendent Scott McManus says parents, students, and staff in his district also are happy the schoolhouses will be busy again beginning January 18th under medium risk precautions after staff completes 2 weeks of isolation and testing to limit the chances that people who've traveled over the holidays might expose others to the coronavirus.
Quarantine for us began on the 4th. For everybody, all of my staff are testing, all of them, every single janitor to principal are testing, and will be tested when we start school.
McManus says district officials also will frequently test staff and students throughout the semester and will continue requiring face masks, hand washing, and social distancing.
We'll be doing about half the staff every week and about a third of the students every week.
Denali Borough School Superintendent Dan Polta says his district began classes this week but kept students at home and online to limit the possibility of travelers transmitting the virus.
The initial plan is this first week we're in distance learning just to allow kind of return from travel.
Polta says district officials are encouraged that no cases of COVID have been reported in the borough over the past 2 weeks, but he says they want to see more data showing no uptick in the numbers before bringing students back into classrooms. He says most parents in the district want their kids back in school, but some parents are opting to keep them at home, both because of health concerns and to avoid disrupting their learning by attending classes until a COVID case sends them back home again.
People that said, health reasons, disruption reasons, I'm going to homeschool, or I'm going to take the district's remote option.
Polta says district officials plan to keep students at home and online through next week, but he says the district's COVID advisory committee will meet this afternoon to review the data to determine whether it supports bringing students back to the classroom sooner. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
Golden Valley Electric Association plans to issue a request for alternative energy project proposals, which, if acted on, could triple its non-fossil fuel generated power supply.
There is potential for this to be a large shift to renewable.
GVEA spokesperson Meadow Bailey says the RFP, scheduled to be issued next week, seeks a project or projects that would supply a total of up to 30 megawatts of solar, wind, hydro, battery, or other renewably sourced energy.
The goal is really to replace power that's currently generated using fossil fuels.
About 9% of GVEA's energy is currently produced by a combination of wind, solar, and hydro, and that could increase to over 25% if the full 30 megawatts sought in the RFP are fulfilled. Bailey says the number represents how much alternative power the system can accommodate and maintain backup capacity for.
One of the challenges with renewable, depending on the source, is that you also have to have reliability. So it has to be supplemented with fossil fuel as well.
Bailey says the effort to move more toward fossil alternatives also reflects producer potential and consumer demand.
We know that there's definitely interest in projects like this, and we also hear from our members that there is a desire to see us shift towards more renewables.
Bailey emphasizes that alternative power sources must be competitive with coal, oil, and natural gas-fired energy,
so that it wouldn't increase the cost in the long run to our members.
GVEA has a goal of reducing its carbon output 26% by the year 2030. The Interior Alaska Land Trust has acquired parcels in Goldstream Valley north of Fairbanks. As KUEC's Robin reports, the acreage will be protected from development and expand a public trail system.
Frank Stephenson built a little cabin in Goldstream Valley in 1984. He lived there while he got his electrician's license and worked on the North Slope. His mother had homesteaded the property in the 1960s after the family drove from the lower 48 in a station wagon.
I was 11, and my sister, well, she would have been 9, yeah.
Although the family didn't live on the land that much, his mother ended up leaving it to Frank and his sister, Christina Dix. The land, very close to Goldstream Creek, was boggy and not particularly good for development.
It seemed like every time I walked back in there to the creek, a house came back by a different route than what I went in there by, and got lost half the time coming back, as well, you kind of have to go around the wet spots.
Stephenson recognized that his land was near a patchwork green belt of state, borough, and university land that stretches west to east along the old Tanana Valley Railroad route. He thought of approaching a local conservation group to buy his land to keep it wild. It's crossed by trails used year-round by hikers, birders, and skiers. The Interior Alaska Land Trust, or IALT, has been slowly acquiring private land in Goldstream Valley, either through outright purchase or having owners dedicate conservation easements of their property.
And I'm sure you know how beautiful Goldstream can be. To walk down there by the creek in the summertime in June and July, it is unbelievably beautiful.
IALT President Owen Guthrie told members at their recent annual meeting of the Stephenson Dix parcel, which is easily accessible off Blaine Road.
This 80-acre parcel from Frank Stephenson and his sister, that's the last piece of the 120-acre homestead.
Former conservation coordinator for the trust, David Ruzica, explains the parcel was like a missing puzzle piece among the protected land that surrounded it.
So looking at a map, you would see the Goldstream Valley Greenbelt. You'd see it's right smack in the center. It's right on Blaine Road. And there's that big winter trail that traverses it, and that crosses the valley too. You can link that up to other trails both to the east and to the west. So it's a really high conservation priority for us. We were extremely excited that Frank was interested in selling that to us and having it conserved.
The trust was able to buy the land through donations and will organize volunteers to work on the parcel this summer. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The University of Alaska Fairbanks has appointed an interim athletic director. A message from UAF Chancellor Dan White says Peggy Kuiper, who currently serves as director of the Sport and Recreation Business Program at UAF School of Management, will begin filling the AD post February 1st. Vice Chancellor Keith Champagne has been doing the job for the past year and a half, but White says demands have increased and UAF needs a full-time athletic director. White says Kuiper will serve in the position while a search is conducted for a permanent full-time athletic director. The university hopes to have the job filled by June. I'm Dan Bross.